3 feet. That's how close I watched a guy fly to the bottom of a cloud deck once, in the pattern, on a hazy summer afternoon, telling himself the whole time that he was perfectly legal. He wasn't. And the worst part is, if you'd handed him the regulation right there in the cockpit, he could have recited it to you word for word. This is Radio Hangar, I'm Pattern. And on today's traffic pattern, we are going to take one of the most memorized, most quoted, and most quietly violated regulations in the whole rulebook, and figure out why the gap between knowing it and flying it is where so many of us get into trouble. Federal Aviation Regulation 91.155, Basic VFR Weather Minimums. The Cloud Clearances. Stick with me, because by the end of this, I want this to live in your hands, not just your head. Before we get into it, a quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones you worked hard for. aviationsoul.com. All right, let's walk through this together. Here's the thing about visual flight rules. The entire system rests on one assumption that you can see the ground, see the horizon, and most importantly, see other airplanes in time to do something about it. Cloud clearance rules exist for exactly one reason, and it is not to make your life difficult on a check ride. It's because somewhere out there, hidden in or just behind that cloud, there might be another airplane on an instrument flight plan descending out of the soup at 140 knots, and neither of you knows the other one exists. The clouds are where the VFR world and the instrument world bump into each other, and 91.155 is the buffer that keeps you apart. So, let's get to the numbers, and I'm going to give you the one that everybody knows first, because it's the foundation. In controlled airspace below 10,000 feet in the daytime, the classic answer is this. 3 statute miles of visibility, and then for the clouds, 500 feet below, 1,000 feet above, 2,000 feet horizontal. 500, 1,000, 2,000. Say it a few times. Most of you learned it as a little rhyme or a hand gesture. 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 to the side. That's Class E airspace below 10,000, and honestly, that's the airspace most of us spend the bulk of our cross-country lives flying through. Now, here's where I want to slow down, because this is the part students memorize and then completely lose track of in the airplane. That 3 mile, 500, 1,000, 2,000 answer is not the only answer. It changes based on where you are, and the regulation is built around a logic that, once you understand it, you'll never have to brute force memorize again. The logic is this. The more controlled the airspace, the more the controller is helping keep airplanes apart, so the less the rule asks of you. The less controlled the airspace, the more you are on your own, so the more clearance you need to give yourself. Let's make that real Class B airspace. The big stuff over the major metro airports, in Class B, you need 3 miles of visibility, and your cloud clearance is simply clear of clouds. That's it. Clear of clouds. Why so generous? Because in Class B, the controller is separating absolutely everybody, VFR and instrument traffic alike. You are being watched and sequenced, so the rule relaxes. Class C and Class D, 3 miles, and back to 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 horizontal. Class E below 10,000, same, 3 miles, 500, 1,000, 2,000. But climb into Class E at or above 10,000 feet and everything jumps. Now it's 5 miles of visibility and 1,000 feet below, 1,000 above, and 1 statute mile horizontal. Why the big increase? Because up there, airplanes are moving fast. Closing speeds are enormous. You need to see farther to react in time, so the buffer grows. And then there's Class G, uncontrolled airspace. Down low, close to the ground, often out in the countryside. This is where the rules get the most interesting, and frankly the most dangerous, because Class G is where they relax the most while being the place you arguably need to be most careful. In Class G during the day, at or below 1,200 feet above the surface, you need 1 mile of visibility and you must remain clear of clouds. 1 mile and clear of clouds. That is a remarkably low bar, and it's legal. But here's something I wish someone had told me when I was training. Legal and safe are two different airplanes, and they do not always fly in formation. 1 mile visibility, clear of clouds, scud running down a valley in Class G. You can do that and never break a single regulation. You can also fly straight into rising terrain you never saw, or into the path of another pilot doing the exact same legal. Stupid thing coming the other way. The regulation is a floor. It is the worst conditions the FAA will let you legally operate in. It was never meant to be a target. Let me give you a scenario, because this is where it gets practical. You're on a cross country. Beautiful morning when you left. Now you're a couple hours out, and the ceiling has been coming down on you the whole way. The clouds that were comfortably above you are now feeling close, real close, and you're in Class E airspace below 10,000, so the rule is 500 feet below those clouds. Here's the trap. From the cockpit, you cannot accurately judge 500 feet to a cloud base. You just can't. Nobody can. It looks like more room than it is. That guy I told you about at the top of the show, 3 feet from the cloud, he genuinely believed he had a few hundred feet. Our eyes lie to us when we're looking up at a flat gray ceiling with no reference. So, what do you actually do? You use your altimeter and you do the math on the ground before you ever launch. If the reported ceiling is, say, 2,500 feet above the ground, and you need to stay 500 below the bases, then your hard ceiling for cruising is 2,000 feet above the ground. Not about 2,000, 2,000, and you set that as a number you will not climb above. The moment you find yourself wanting to climb to stay under the clouds, that's the airplane telling you the weather has beaten your plan, and it's time to turn around, land, or change course. Not to squeeze. And let's connect this to the airman certification standards for a second, because this isn't just my opinion. The ACS for the private pilot certificate expects you to know these minimums cold for the airspace you're operating in, and more than that, it expects you to apply them to a real go-no-go decision. The examiner is looking for more than recitation. They want to hear you take the actual weather, the actual airspace, and turn it into a number and a decision. They want to see you say, in this airspace, I need this clearance. The weather gives me this much room, therefore I will or will not go. That's the skill. The memorization is just the raw material. Here's a tip that served me well. Don't try to hold the whole chart of every airspace in your head while you're flying. Instead, anchor on the two most common cases and reason from there. Case 1. Controlled airspace below 10,000, daytime. 3 miles, 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 to the side. That covers most of your flying. Case 2. Down low in Class G during the day. 1 mile clear of clouds. Then remember the two adjustments. Class B relaxes you to clear of clouds. Above 10,000 tightens you to 5 miles and 1,000. 1,000 in a mile. If you know those, you can derive almost everything else by understanding the why instead of cramming the what. And one more practical piece. Night. The rules change at night in Class G, and a lot of pilots forget this. That generous 1 mile, clear of clouds, daytime rule in Class G goes away after dark. At night down low in Class G, you're generally back to 3 miles and 500, 1,000, 2,000, just like controlled airspace, because at night you've lost your ability to see and avoid terrain and traffic. So the buffer comes back. The regulation is, once again, responding to risk. That's the whole secret to 91.155. It isn't an arbitrary table you have to suffer through. It's a risk model wearing the costume of a regulation. Every single number in it is the FAA answering one question. How much room do you need to see and avoid the other guy, given how much help you're getting and how fast everyone's moving? Read it that way, and it stops being something you memorize for the test and start forgetting the day after. It becomes something you understand. My thanks to the Federal Aviation Regulations themselves and the Airman Certification Standards for the framework behind all of this. If you want the exact tables to study, the regulation is right there in Part 91, and it's worth printing out and taping inside your flight bag. Know the numbers, but more than that, know what they are protecting you from. The clouds aren't empty. Give them the room the rule asks for, and then give them a little more. I'm Pattern. Keep some daylight between you and the bases, and I'll see you next time on Traffic Pattern.